Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious Lord, our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently before Thee this evening. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for the One who loved us, gave Himself for us. Thank Thee, Lord, for the One who's the perfect God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the life that He lived for us, the death He died for us. We thank Thee for His glorious resurrection. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for His prayers for us, and Lord, for the fact that He is coming again to receive us unto Himself. We do pray, O Lord, that as Thy word is preached in this program, that the Holy Spirit will apply that word effectually to hearts. We do ask, O Lord, that people will become aware of their need for the Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be saved. We ask Thee, O Lord, that Thou wilt take the gospel as it is preached, Lord, and use it for the furtherance of Thy kingdom. We thank Thee for the living word of the living God. We thank Thee, Lord, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We pray You'll undertake for the one who will preach tonight. May God be glorified in all that is said and done during this program. We ask these things in Jesus' name, looking unto Him for the blessing. Amen. We're reading today from Galatians chapter 6, commencing at verse number 11. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We're going to join together to sing another beautiful gospel hymn about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the verses reads, "Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me." Let's stand and worship the Lord with these beautiful words.
Good to be here today, and we want to turn to God's precious word, to the book of Galatians chapter 6, and verse 14 is my text. It says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Paul speaks here about the thing that he gloried in. there after mentioning those that were glorying in their religion and their external religion and the things that they did, Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." We all glory in something. I wonder what it is for you. Some people glory in their abilities, in the ability of athletics or music or artistry, whatever it may be. Other people glory in their achievements, in what they have accomplished by way of exams or by way of promotions or gifts that they have. Some people will glory in their assets, in the money that they have or the property that they have. And there are those that will glory in their attributes, whether they have power, whether they have certain abilities that they have. But I want you to see that the Bible indicates that we should glory in the Savior. It says in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." God wants all of us to glory in what is really important. There are many things that Paul could have gloried in. Indeed, in Philippians chapter 3, he gives a list of the mighty things that he had done and he could have gloried in. But here he tells us what he really gloried in. "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And the test of any man or woman's religion is where they put the cross. In many places today we have a crossless religion. They have forsaken the cross. But the cross is the very center and circumference of our Christianity. And without the cross, we have nothing. And so I just want to focus your attention upon the cross work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Paul gloried in. There are a number of things about the cross that I want you to see this evening. The first thing that I want you to see is the person of the cross. It is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what makes the cross important. There are many people in Roman days who were crucified on a cross, but their names have gone into obscurity and into history, and nobody knows anything about them. But this is a cross that is right at the very center of the history and the lives of so many people. And that is because it is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we glory in the cross because of who he is. We think of how he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that speaks to us of his sovereignty. And back in the days of the Apostle Paul, there were many gods, many people that they worshipped. Indeed, the emperors proclaimed themselves to be gods. Caesar put up a statue to himself in 44 BC, and he called himself the unconquered God. There were many gods that they could look to, but there is only one true and living God. Today we have many gods too. It mightn't be the old gods, but you know Andrew Garfield, the star of one of the Spider-Man movies, he said that celebrity is the new religion. As far as I can see, along with money, power, status, it's all the same umbrella, the seductive forces of evil, really. And that's the reality. Now, it mightn't be celebrity for you. It might be something else. Maybe it's public opinion that is your God. You want to be up to date in your views. And so you're carried along with the fashions of the day. Who is your Lord today? But the cross is important because he is the Lord. Then it is important not only because the title Lord speaks of his sovereignty, but the title Jesus speaks about his salvation. He was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. Jesus, of course, is the Greek equivalent of the name Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God that he died on the cross to be a savior. And then not only do we see that he's the Lord and he's Jesus, but he's Christ. There is his special title. It is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. And there are a number of things that were prophesied about Christ, that he would be the anointed Messiah. In the Old Testament, it says that he would establish a kingdom. And I believe that there's an element of that kingdom that is yet future, but there is that which he has brought about already. We who are saved, the Bible says, are taken from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Whose kingdom are you in tonight? John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Not only do we see the person of the cross, but I want you to see something else. I want you to see the passion of the cross. The cross here speaks to us of the love of God. Thank God for his desire to come and to be our Redeemer and our Savior. And I want you to see that Calvary is the place where the love of God is demonstrated. We came to bleed and to die and to suffer in the room and stead of guilty, hell-deserving sinners. It says in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins." Oh, what wondrous love was bestowed upon us in God sending his Son. But I want you to think about the strength of his passion. I want you to see how deep the love of God was for us. The Bible says, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." When we're down in the depths, and sin brings us into the depths, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I'm glad today for the strength of his passion. When we were unlovely, he loved us with an everlasting love. Not only do we see the strength of his passion, but I want you to see the suffering of his passion. Oh, what sufferings our Savior went through when he went to that cross of Calvary. He suffered verbally. They spat upon him. They opposed him in every way. Many times they called him a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners, although that became his glory. But they said that he cast out demons by the power of demons. They said he was a demon. Oh, how many were willing to speak against and rebuke the blessed Redeemer. Not only did he suffer verbally, but of course he suffered physically. The Bible speaks about how that being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And the Bible speaks about how his face was marred, how his brow was scarred, how his back was lacerated, how his side was pierced, how his feet were torn, how his body was humiliated. And all that we might be redeemed. All for us. It was for us. He hung and suffered there. But those verbal and physical sufferings were nothing to what he suffered spiritually. It says that the soul of his sufferings were the sufferings of a soul. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He carried the wrath of God poured out upon him there on the cross. And the greatest torment was not the torn limbs and the bleeding wounds that he had, but that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, what it our Savior went through to provide salvation for us. We see the person of the cross. We see the passion of the cross. And then I want you to think about the propitiation of the cross. Now, propitiation is not a word that is common in use nowadays, but it is a Bible word. The Bible word is that is in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, where it says that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And propitiation just means appeasement. It means that the offended person is appeased and he is, his wrath is mollified by the offering or whatever it is that is made. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, it tells us, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We deserve God's wrath. The wrath of God is our due because we have sinned against God. We have sinned against him. And the Lord Jesus suffered, the Bible says, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And his death was a sinless death. He was the just. And the Bible speaks of how he could do no sin, neither was any sin found in his mouth. We think of how the Bible speaks of how by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. You recall how Peter said at the beautiful gate of the temple that ye denied the Holy One and the just. Even the Lord's enemies had to remark and had to admit that he was the absolutely sinless one. You remember how Pilate said, who condemned him, I find no fault in him. His wife said, have thou nothing to do with that just man? The Roman centurion at the cross declared, certainly this was a righteous man. He did not deserve that death. He did not deserve the punishment. But because he was sinless, he's able to save. Because he was righteous, he's able to redeem. Because he was perfect and is perfect, he's able to pardon. And he died the just for the unjust. Think about that, dear friend. Not only is his death a sinless death, it's a sufficient death. The Bible uses the word once. Christ also has once suffered for us. When Christ came, he was the perfect substitute for sin. The Bible says Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. It says in Hebrews 10 and 12, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. This is a sufficient sacrifice. Doesn't need to be repeated. Doesn't need to be continued. Doesn't need to be gone over again. Thank God this is the once and for all sacrifice that our Savior made there on the cross. But something else is a substitutionary death. He died the just for the unjust. He died for you and me. All my iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin, fully paid. He laid the ransom for me. And what a wonderful thing. You can put your name in there. He died the just for Gordon Dean. You put your name in there. And dear friend, what a wonderful Savior it is that we have. But one more thing I want you to see, and that's the purpose of the cross. What does it say in our text? It says that Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's the purpose, that he might bring us to God. There is the chasm, there is the barrier, and it's sin that makes the barrier, but there's the bridge that Christ has made at the cross so that you might be redeemed. Dear friend, if you'll come to him, he is the one that spans the chasm and brings you to God, that you might have your sins forgiven and that you might be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Will you come and trust him, whom to know is life eternal? Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the one who died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We come to glory in the cross tonight. We come to thank God for that cross, because it is that cross that brings us nigh to God. Bless thy word, write upon our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.